أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Continuing with the verses of Surah Baqarah, verse number 57. وَذَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى كُلُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ وَمَا ظَلَمُونَا وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ And we shaded you with clouds. And we send down to you manna and quails. Eat of the good things we have provided for you. And they did not wrong us, but they used to wrong themselves. This is the eighth blessing that Allah is counting for Banu Israel, that what we did to you. And if you remember, these are the things which have been done to the forefathers of these people in Medina, but Allah is addressing them because they saw themselves as a community and they were boasting about their history, their forefathers. So Allah is saying, as a community, as people of a faith, what blessings we actually gave you. ذَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامِ Because they were traveling. This is because this is either after they were going lost in the desert and for 40 years, as you know, because they didn't enter Jericho, Allah said that, okay, let them just go around in the desert for 40 years. It's either after that or before that when they were traveling towards Jericho. But the blessings of man and salwa, because they are given to them when they were traveling in the desert, so it should be there as well. Even after they did not obey Musa alayhi salam for entering Jericho. You know this story. It's mentioned in the Quran, we discussed it in Surah A'raf, when they came close to the Holy Land, as Allah calls it, Al-Ardul Muqaddasa, the Holy Land. And it was holy because, of course, Abraham was buried there. It was holy because the connection between man and God was easier there. You know that our Prophet was taken from Mecca to the Holy Lands of Jerusalem to go to Mi'raj. And this should tell us something. Why Prophet did not go to Mi'raj from Mecca? He was taken from Mecca to Jerusalem physically, and from there he spiritually traveled for Mi'raj. So there is something with that land, which Allah calls it Al-Ardul Muqaddasa, the Holy Land. Now, when they were close to Holy Land, we know that the Amalekites were residing in those lands, and they did not let them enter. And Musa asked them, we go and fight them. They were not ready for fight. They just wanted an easy entrance. They wanted Allah to do everything for them. And that's why they said to Musa, قَالُوا يَا مُوسَىٰ اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ وَقَاتِلَا You and your Lord go, you fight, take them out, kick them out, and then we enter. And for that reason, Allah said, okay, now that you are not ready to do something for yourself, go around in the desert for 40 years. So they were lost in the desert. They didn't know where to find a way out. And in that situation, despite their disobedience, despite whatever they did, and Moses in that lost days in desert passed away, he did not actually succeed to make them enter into the Holy Land. Despite that, Allah says that we were kind to you when you were traveling in desert, because it was desert, it was hot. We made a cloud coming on your head. وَذَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامِ So that you have shade, you are not hurt much by the sunshine. وَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى And of course, in the desert, there is no food. Neither they could cultivate anything, nor there was anything ready. So Allah says, we send down for you manna. Manna was a sort of honey-like thing that Allah gave them every morning. They say every morning it was just coming out of the harsh plants, which were cactuses or something, which were in the desert, or just coming out of the earth like dews in the morning. Between Fajr and sunshine, they were coming out for their breakfast. And they used to eat that as a breakfast. It was a very wholesome food. It kept them until afternoon when salwa came. Salwa were, they were quails or another type of bird, which some Christian scholars have written in their books that these were birds which were traveling from North Africa to the area, and when they reached there, they were so tired that they couldn't move, and these people could just hunt them by hand. Anyhow, whatever it was, these birds were coming from somewhere, and every day they were coming, and Banu Israel could take them and eat them as their food. So while you were going around in the desert, we, because of your disobedience, still we did not forget you, still we did not want you to go into hardship, we sent down for you man and salwa. It's very interesting that everything for them was coming in a miraculous way, and still they, because they were drowned in miracles, because miracles were coming to them from every side, it became sort of ordinary and normal for them. And you see, it's exactly the same thing for us, isn't it? Because everything is ready for us, coming from, of course, the nature. Mother Nature gives us everything in a way which, if we think about it, is really a miracle. But it gives us all those things. It becomes very normal for us, very ordinary, and okay, there's what's big deal about it? We take it for granted. They took all these things for granted. And if there was something lacking, they expected Musa to give them in that miraculous way, as we hear in the following verses, that we want cucumbers and lentils and such things. So, ذَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامُ وَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Eat from the purest things that we have provided. These were the purest things that Allah gave them. They didn't need to cheat anyone for it. They didn't need to go do business. And in business, you know, there are lots of cheating, deception, such things. No, they didn't need it. It was purest thing that God gave them directly. So eat from it. While they were given all these things, they were actually in their hearts, there was a rejection towards Musa alayhi salam. A hatred, rejection, jealousy. And that's why Allah says, وَمَا ظَلَمُونَا. They did not wrong us. وَلَكَنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. They were wronging themselves. Now, wrong us, there is a hadith in which is mentioned by Faiz Kashani. He reports it from Al-Kafi, which somehow explains the situation there in a better light. This hadith is from Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, fi qawlihi azza wa jal, ma ma zalamuna. They did not wrong us. The Imam alayhi salam said, "Inna Allah a'zam wa a'az wa ajal wa amna min an yuzlam." We know that Allah is, of course, beyond, above, more glorified than being wronged by anyone. No one can wrong Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنَّهُ خَلَطَنَا بِنَفْسِهِ. But he mixed us with himself. فَجَعَلَ ظُلْمَنَا ظُلْمَهُ. He made, if anyone wrongs us, he actually took it as wronging him. فَجَعَلَ ظُلْمَنَا ظُلْمَهُ وَوِلَايَتَنَا وِلَايَتَهُ. And our wilaya, his wilaya. Now, of course, here there is no mention of Ahlul Bayt or something like that. It's about Musa in past history. Why the Imam says, وَلَكِنَّهُ خَلَطَنَا بِنَفْسِهِ. He mixed us with himself. Because in the Quran and in the word of A'imma alayhi salam, A'imma as awliya Allah, as infallible people, they take themselves and all the prophets as one entity. And that's why we have in hadith that Quran is revealed in three types. One third of it is about us. The Imam says one third of the Quran is about us. One third of the Quran is about our enemy. And one third of the Quran is history and law and other things. Now, when he says about us, it means about us, the pure ones, about us, those who are close to Allah, about us, those who Allah sent to people to guide them. And therefore, what Imam means here is that because they were wronging Musa, because they were disobeying him, disregarding his commands, Allah says that they were thinking that they were wronging Musa while they were not wronging Musa. وَمَا ظَلَمُونَ Allah is mixing himself with Musa, alayhi salam, and with Yusha and others who were beside Musa, alayhi salam, and taking the pronoun as we. وَمَا ظَلَمُونَ They did not wrong us. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلَمُونَ By what they did, they were just wronging themselves, and they were just prolonging the punishment upon themselves. And then the ninth blessing that Allah mentioned, the eighth blessing that Allah mentioned, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا ادْخُلُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرَيَةِ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شَئْتُمْ رَغَدًا وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطَايَاكُمْ وَسَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ And when we said, enter this town and eat there freely when whatever you want, and enter prostrating at the gate, وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ And say, relieve us of the burdens of our sins, that we may forgive your iniquities, and soon we will enhance the virtues. وَسَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسَنِينَ Now, because this verse is mentioned after Al-Ghamam وَالْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى, that's why some people have said those things were given to them before they reached Jericho, not after they were in the desert. But it wouldn't make sense, because they needed those things in desert more. So maybe the verse which goes prior to this is mentioning the blessings that Allah gave them and why He gave it to them, because they did not enter this city, Jericho. Now, أَدْخُلُوا هَذَا الْقَرْيَةَ Most of the exegetes say that this is Jerusalem. They were commanded to enter Jerusalem, but of course they have ignored the fact that Jerusalem was built later on at the time of David. It did not exist at the time. So it should be Jericho, as many historical accounts mention. They were taken out of Egypt. They traveled there. Allah told them that this is your land. Go and reside there. And they didn't want to go and fight the Amalekites, because of course they were fearsome people. Now, we told them, "Udkhulu hadhihi al-qarya," enter this city. The inhabitants, of course, were people, ordinary people living there from Amalekites, but the Amalekite rulers were Jabbarin. They were oppressors. They needed to be punished by God. And Allah wanted them to go to that city, remove the Amalekite rulers from the city, and live in peace. We have accounts in the Bible that they were told that when you enter the city, you kill everyone, even the cats and dogs in the city. No living being should be there. I doubt this, because what these verses are telling us is that Allah says, وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا Enter with humility. Enter with that humbleness of the heart. Some have said that this means that when you want to enter, you make a prostration and enter, or the gates of the Jericho were so low that they had to bow down and enter. These don't make sense. These are like more sort of fantasies. The reality was that, as even Zamakhshari mentions in Kashaf, sujjada means with humbleness. And with humbleness, it doesn't make sense that you go and kill everyone in the city. So although you may be victorious over these Amalekite kings, however, you have to be humble towards people. You have to ask forgiveness from God. And that means all that attitude which is created in you would make you kind to the people who are living in the city. We told them, you entered this city, move Amalekite king, remove Amalekite king, entered in the city with humbleness. And they said, of course, as we discussed in Surah A'raf, that قَالُوا يَا مُوسَىٰ إِنَّ فِيهَا قَوْمًا جَبَّارِينَ. These Amalekites are very powerful. وَإِنَّا لَن نَدْخُلَهَا مَدَامُ فِيهَا. As long as the Amalekite king is there, we do not enter. فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ وَقَاتِلَا إِنَّهَا هُنَا قَاعِدُونَ. We stay here, you go with your Lord, fight, remove the Amalekite king, and then we enter. So this is about that incident. We told them, enter this town, ادخلوا هذه القرية فكلوا منها حيث شئتم. Means then you own whatever the Amalekite kings own. It belongs to you. Go فكلوا منها حيث شئتم رغدا وادخلوا الباب سجدا. Now as I mentioned, وادخلوا الباب سجدا means enter the city with humbleness, with humility, not with that attitude of the victorious, arrogant troops which enter and kill everyone. وَقُولُوا حِتَّى, and say, God, forgive us. Now, again, this قُولُوا حِتَّى doesn't mean that you, when you enter, you by tongue, you should say this. حِتَّى from يَحُطُّ الذُّنُوبِ, that actually wash off our sins. You enter and say, Ya Allah, wash off our sins because of whatever you had done in the past and what you are actually, you would feel as a victorious people. So apparently, قُولُوا حِتَّى have this attitude of istighfar and ask forgiveness from Allah. Apparently, it means for all the things that you did on the way coming here, worshipping the calf, accusing Musa of different things, asking Musa very funny things, just say, God, forgive us and enter this city, and then everything will be fine for you. وَسَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسَنِينَ, and we will add to the reward of the virtues. Now, either muhsinin means everyone who enters the city and say, God, forgive us, with humility, they become from muhsinin. And you, if you are from muhsinin, we add to the blessings. Or it means that you, قُولُوا حِتَّى, you say, God, forgive us. If you are sinful, Allah will forgive you. If you are not sinful, if you haven't done anything else, by istighfar, Allah would increase his blessings. And this is something that we know. Even if you don't have sins, of course, it's not possible that we do not have sins. Even if we do not realize it or recognize what we are doing during the day and night towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are actually not appreciating enough what God has given us. And this is something which we should regard as our sins. So even if you are muhsin, if you are people who do every religious duty, we do give charity and all these things, if we are regarded as muhsinin, by istighfar, Allah would increase our bounties, our blessings. And that's why we are told that every day, every night, you have to seek istighfar 70 times to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least, because, of course, if you are sinful, Allah will forgive your sins. If you are not sinful, Allah will increase your bounties and your mercies. Now, this Sanazidul Muhsinin, is it for this world or next world? Of course, both. If you are muhsin, your blessing would increase in this world and in the next world. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى. Those, for those who do good, There is good, waziyada, and more than that. This is Sanazid al-Muhsinin. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُ الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَ. Anyhow, they did not, not only they did not do what Musa had told them. فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ. But the wrongdoers changed the saying with other than what they were told. فَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا رَجْزًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. So we send down on those who were wrongdoers a plague from the sky because of the transgressions they used to commit. Now, فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ. The attitude of the Exodus towards this verse is divided into two sort of attitudes. One attitude is very literal. They say that Allah told them وَقُولُوا حَتَّى. Instead of حَتَّى, they said henta, just to radical, just to actually showing what they believed in. Henta means wheat. Henta means forgiveness, asking forgiveness. Now, these people, when they were entering the city, instead of saying hettaton, Ya Allah, forgive us, they used to say hentaton, give us wheat, give us food. What's the use of asking forgiveness? We don't want forgiveness. We want food. We want what is for our this world. Now, this attitude or this approach towards the verse has two problems. One problem is that they never entered the cities to say hentaton. And the other problem is that hentaton is an Arabic word. It is a translation of what Allah told them. We know that Allah quotes many prophets who spoke other languages but mentions them in Arabic, so translates it. And henta is in Arabic language, and therefore it doesn't make much sense. One may say this approach makes sense in the sense that instead of asking forgiveness in their heart, they were actually saying, what's the use of asking forgiveness? It doesn't bring us anything in this world. We want food, we want money, we want such things. So they were actually not obeying Allah in that sense. The other approach, which is the Mu'tazili approach, and especially Abu Muslim al-Khurasani has taken this approach and has actually mentioned a verse from the Quran as a witness. يُرِدُونَ أَن يُبَدِّلُوا كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. It means they want to change the word of God, changing his injunctions, his commands, what he has told. Now, it means that they actually changed this command in the sense they did not obey, they did not obey, they did not enter the city. They were not wanting forgiveness. فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ فَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. We targeted those who were wrongdoers. رَجْزًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. A punishment from the sky. And they say they were actually inflicted with plague. Almost 20,000 of them were affected by plague, and they died. When this happened, how it happened, we are not told. Anyhow, let's pass this verse and the following verse, وَإِذَا اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى. Another blessing, which is mentioned here as the ninth or tenth blessing, that Allah, as a miracle, brought to Banu Israel. وَإِذَا اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ فَقُلْ نَضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرَ. When Moses prayed for water for his people, we said, strike the rock with your staff. And this is certainly in the desert. When they were going around in the desert for 40 years, there was no water, of course. And sometimes rain came, it was fine, but most of the time it was dry. And they used to carry water with themselves, but it was not enough. They consumed it very quickly. So Apparently, once they were inflicted with heavy thirst, and they were on the verge of being dying from the thirst, they came to Musa asking him to probably do Salatul Istisqa, ask for rain, ask for water. And Musa alayhi salam stood in prayer. Istasqa Musa liqawmihi. It means Musa stood in prayer for rain, for water, to come for his people. And apparently, well, whether he asked the people to pray with him Salatul Istisqa or not, we don't know. But because they were insignificant, and it is Musa which is important here in Istisqa, Allah mentions only him. Even those very high quality believers who were with Musa alayhi salam, Allah ignores them, doesn't mention. It was Musa who asked. That is important. And this is very, very important, a very important style of the Quran, which only when even things are done collectively, he only mentions those which are significant and effective. Like, for example, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim had six sons. Allah gave him six sons after old age, but he never mentions that I gave him six sons. He say, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. We gave him إِسْحَاق and يَعْقُوبَ. What about other sons? No, they are not significant that I mentioned them. What was significant that I gave them were إِسْحَاق and يَعْقُوب. Or, for example, in Ayatul Mubahala, فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْ نَدُوا أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ وَأَنفُسَنَا وَأَنفُسَكُمْ. We see the Prophet, peace be upon him, although he is told, our sons, our women, ourselves, our men, probably that may be one of the meaning of Anfusana. He only brings Amirul Mu'mineen, Fatima to Zahra and Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam, because these are the ones who are influential in this dua, in this mubahala. Others are not insignificant, are not influential. And here as well, apparently, or probably Musa was standing in prayer for water, and his people with him. But Allah says, Allah only sees who? Only sees Musa. No one else. وَإِذَ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ. Now, had Allah sent rain for them? First of all, it was a one-off sort of incident. And secondly, again, Banu Islam would have said, well, we prayed, but it happened that it rained at the same time, isn't it? They would not have believed. Allah wanted to show them that I am giving you water. I am feeding you. I am doing all these favors to you. Now, instead of sending rain to them, فَقُلْ نَضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرِ. There was a stone. Now, the story say they were carrying a stone with them, and this stone was with them a holy stone. But nothing of that is mentioned in the Quran. There was a stone there or a rock or something like that. We told to Musa, hit this rock with your staff. فَقُلْ نَضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرِ. In the same way. Now, this is actually the opposite of what happened when Moses hit the river or the sea, the Red Sea, hit the Red Sea with the staff. It parted, it went dry. Here, the rock started to gush out water. وَإِذَ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ فَقُلْ نَضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرِ. Hit this rock with your staff. فَانْفَجَرَتْ مِنْهُ اثْنَتَ عَشْرَةَ عَيْنًا. 12 rivers, 12 springs gushed out of this rock. Why 12? And it should have been either a very huge rock or something from which came water initially, not in a very high quantity, but enlarging and enhancing as it flew. And because when they were actually traveling in the desert, or even before that, there were 12 tribes, and they were, each tribe was under the command of their chief when they wanted to stop, when they wanted to move. So they were orderly, they were made orderly in the order of their tribes. So the head of each tribe was actually commanding the tribe to move, to stop, and they were camping in different places. Each tribe was camping on one side when they wanted to camp. And the miraculous thing about this water coming out of the stone was that it actually found its way through the campings of each tribe. That was another miracle. Where they were camping, the water was not just flowing precariously. It was flowing as a river through the camps of each tribe. And this is the meaning of قَدْ عَلِمَ كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ مَشْرَبَهُمْ. Every tribe came to know its drinking place. This mashrab was flowing in a very targeted, purposive manner. كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا مِنْ رِزْقِ اللَّهِ. Eat and drink. Eat from what we gave you, manna and salwa, and drink. And this water was actually at par and equal with the same miracle of food that they were given. كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا مِنْ رِزْقِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْثَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. And do not cause corruption, and do not act wickedly on the earth, causing corruption. Athi actually means huge corruption. La ta'athaw means do not make huge corruptions. Wa la ta'athaw fil ardi mufsidin. Do not cause huge corruptions on the earth. And still, after giving all these things to it, the verse number 41 would say that you were not satisfied with this, you wanted more. Inshallah, we'll discuss that next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Thank you very much, thank you very much, Sheikh. It's very, very interesting. I have two questions. First, actually, it seems God is really too kind to these people. Why he just chose them to be such kind? I mean, because they were actually several times say, we are not interested, go and fight with your God. I mean, why should God to be so kind to them?
Well,
my second question.
Okay.
You said there are 12 tribes. But that you deduce that, we don't know, because it's 12 spring. Why 12? We don't know why.
No, it's in other verses.
Oh, I see.
That وَجَعَلْ دَهُمْ إِثْنَتَيْ أَشْرَةَ أَصْبَاطًا أُمَمًا. They were 12 tribes. We made them 12 tribes. Each tribe was a community for themselves. Yeah, it is mentioned in other verses. Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum. Sheikh, I'm probably trying to be a bit cheeky here. When you mentioned huge, they made huge facade. And in that sense, in the desert, they had no capacity or resources to make any kind of huge facade. All the facade would have been small. So what was this huge facade? Is this something for the future?
Yeah, of course. La ta'athaw fil ardi mufsidin is an instruction given to them. And look what we have given to you. So you do not make huge corruption on the earth, certainly not that, not instantly, immediately in the desert. This is said to them for the whole generations, that you should not, because of what we gave to you. And you mentioned why Allah is so kind to them, and the verses which are following a verse which it was mentioned, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم. Remember the ni'mah that I gave you. And it was huge. Now, there are certain verses in the Quran that tries to justify why. At the beginning of Surah Banu Israel, it says that وَآتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ وَجَعَلْنَاهُ هُدًى لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ Allah tattakhidhu min duni wakila. We gave Moses the book, which is the highest blessing. It doesn't mention any other blessing. The book, and we made it a guidance for Banu Israel. And it says, Dhurriyata man hamalna ma'anuh. Innahu kana abdan shakura. They were the progeny of someone we carried with Nuh in the ark, and he was so grateful to the Lord. This was his reward. All the blessings given to Bani Israel were the rewards of that man who was so appreciative of Allah's blessings. And sometimes Allah will give the generations blessings which they do not deserve because of their parents. Then if they do not appreciate ضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهُمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ, that we will discuss later on, humiliation and poverty were written for them. And this is a very interesting thing to discuss later on, inshallah, because you may say, well, the Jews, or Banu Israel, they were all the time, for example, very prosperous people. What's that baskana and humiliation, zilla? What is that? Inshallah, we'll discuss it later. So they were given all these bounties, but later on, it was written for them that they should be always accompanied by humiliation and poverty. Sorry, about your question. Yeah, the corruption is about future generations, not only in the desert.
And makes Allah must have realized that, look, you are going to do this, so I'm giving you a pre-warning, as he always does. Because he must have known it was going to happen, or he wouldn't have mentioned it.
Well, Allah knows everything, of course.
No, but he must have known they were going to do this, otherwise he wouldn't have mentioned it to them.
He's warning anyhow. Allah always warns all human beings in this manner. But because they have done the corruption later on, Allah is bringing it to their attention. We warned you, we instructed you not to do it, but you did it.
For example, with Yaqub, when he told his children, make sure he doesn't get hurt by a wolf. I mean, he knew that that's the kind of excuse you're going to come up with.
You know, about...
otherwise he would have said, just make sure he doesn't get hurt.
About Yaqub, there is a surmise that he knew it, okay? But about God, certainly he knew it, of course. God knows everything. So, yes, the instruction is very well in place. Yeah.
Salam.
Alaikum salam.
When you mention about Jericho being a holy land, why is a holy land? Is because it's the beginning where the Prophet Adam was first put there, or for some other reason? And for Musa was preaching there, someone have to believe on him. Not all the people maybe are disbelievers. Always just preaching in the desert.
No. About the second question, yes, of course, there were staunch believers of Musa, and that's why Allah says in other verses that وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ الْحُسْنَ عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. Allah's word was fulfilled about Banu Israel because they were patient. And we know that not all of them were patient. You see how Allah describes them. They were a core of believers in Banu Israel. Like, for example, Yusha, like Caleb, who were very close to Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, many of the close family of Musa, they were very close, very staunch believers. However, because the community was so big, and we are told that there were 600,000 people, so if we divide them by 12, there were about 50,000 in each tribe, and you can imagine how huge the tents would have been. And this, every time, I forgot to tell this, because this stone was taken every time with them after the water came, and whenever they camped, they put down their stone, and Musa hit it with their staff, and water came out, gushed out, and every time the river found its way where the tents were. It was a very miraculous sort of thing. So you can imagine these 600,000 people, majority of them were just following because of the need that they had. They were not real believers, but there were certain staunch believers. And about the Holy Land, the only place that Allah mentions that He has blessed, the only place on the land that He has blessed it, is this area of Jerusalem or the vicinity. Al-Arda allati barakna hawlahu. We had blessed its vicinity. And the blessing, of course, should not be something material. As I said, it is a place where most of the prophets made connection with Allah. Revelation came down. And probably there was a connection between heaven and earth in this location. And Allah had chosen this land for Banu Israel because Allah had chosen them, because of their forefather had chosen them and had chosen this land for them. But if they go corrupt, this land does not belong to them, of course. This land belongs to whoever is pious, could make that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says, the mosques belong to no one. إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. The awliya of masajid, those who could look after it, are those who believe in God and the Day of Judgment. So there is no connection between Banu Israel and this land if they do not, if they leave the faith. But as I said, why Allah chose to take our Prophet from Mecca, bring him to Jerusalem, and from there he goes to Mi'raj, there should be a reason for it. And the reason is because this earth is blessed in a way that connections is easy. Maybe after the prophets came in Mecca, Mecca found its place, because we have in Surah Balad, لا أقسم بهذا البلد وأنت حل بهذا البلد. Now that you reside in this city, I swear by this city that it was made so blessed. And that's why the Qibla was changed from Jerusalem to Mecca. And that is why we go to pilgrimage now to Mecca. We don't go to Jerusalem. So after the Prophet came, there was this blessedness.
Waiting for the next Sunday,
inshallah. So next Sunday is the last before Ramadan, isn't it? It's the last before Ramadan, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.